And I think, you know, Americans would rather keep the rainforest than democracy. I really believe that. But the thing is, can you say that my opinion, see, my opinion, right,
sure,
is that we should preserve the Amazon rainforest. That's my personal opinion. And I think that the way we should do it is offer Brazil tons of cash to keep it, you know, that's the way I think we should do it. But here's the thing. I'm willing to accept that I may be wrong, right? I'm willing to accept that maybe the best thing is for them to cut down the rainforest and then make their people rich using the farmland. Maybe that's the right thing to do. I could be wrong. And that's all I'm asking for people in the United States is to lose the certainty, because that's the only way you can have respect for the other people. And it's the only way that you can ever hope to work with them in between elections.
Welcome to Faith in Each Other. I'll be your host, Jordan Howard. And on this show, I want to dive into the minds and the beliefs from people of all walks of life, baby boomers to millennials. No question is off limits as we learn together and go through the journey together of seeing where we as a society have gone wrong and where we have gotten it right. I believe that our faith in each other can lead us into a beautiful future. Each episode, I will be joined by Reverend David Williams, my pastor, and his good friend Tom Ingram, as we talk through challenges facing our society today and gain an understanding from different perspectives. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our show, Faith in Each Other. I am your host, Jordan, and of course, I'm joined by Pastor David Williams and his good friend Tom Ingram. How are you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jordan.
Good to see you. I hope you had a good holiday break, that's for sure. Well, today we're going to talk about a little bit of a serious matter, Brazil and Lula. The attacks on Brasilia drew a stark comparison to the 2021 January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and it came a week after Lula was inaugurated. The leftists defeated Bolsonaro in a runoff election in October, one of Brazil's closest ever elections. Sunday's episode amounted to one of the worst attacks against democracy in Brazil history since the 1964 military coup. And so I want to talk about the matter of Brazil's political crisis today. And I also want to talk about a couple key figures in the events that led up and is currently happening. What are your, Pastor Dave, what are your thoughts on the current situation that Brazil is facing?
Jordan, I think right off the bat, we're seeing more and more change government by force. Change, you know, if things are going to change, it has ended that there are those who will say no more discussions, no more commentary, that they're going to bring about change in a more informal way. And what's going on in Brazil, and I have a few friends who are from Brazil, you know, I think the hurting part is that you still see leadership, those who aspire to leaderships, not for the sake of the people, but it's for their own personal gain. And they will protect their seats, their power, their position at any cost, and not even thinking about the impact of the country that they are called to serve. And that's becoming more and more clear that people want certain political positions to further their own personal gain. And there are those who will come alongside who believe that if they line up with that person or persons, that I think they're believing that, you know, they're going to be part of those who receive some of the spoils. So, you know, I just see that as another sad day in human politics and countries, how countries are being led, and I don't know, developed by people who are not so much really concerned about the everyday persons. Yeah, it's a sad day for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thomas, what are your thoughts on this current situation Brazil's going through?
Well, Lula started the whole event by calling his opponents crazy. And calling your opponents crazy is crazy when you're the one who won and needs to govern, right? The person who won the election is supposed to reach out to the other side, not call them crazy. Everybody knows this, right? Lula's main problem is that he seeks a leftist revolution, and democracy isn't strong enough to provide that for him. Lenin was right, right? If you want to redistribute wealth quickly, you need a dictatorship of the workers to do that. You can't do it with democracy. And that's the fundamental contradiction of what he's trying to do. And empty promises like his were what led to the fascist revolutions in the 1930s, in my opinion, that people would come out and say, I'm going to make all the poor people rich, and then it didn't happen, and then you have the revolution. But you can't take people's property with the ballot box. That's just a basic principle, and everybody knows this. And I think that's his basic problem, is that what he's trying to do is not possible to do with democracy. You know, I think if we could tell him, and you know, and the thing that I would tell him, if I was sitting right across the table from Lula right now, what I would ask him is for an historical example of a situation where a country was in a situation like Brazil with racial problems, inequality problems, and they redistributed wealth quickly and it resulted in a good outcome. There simply are no historical examples, because when you try to do something that radical, it fractures the democracy. The rightists might take over, the leftists might take over, but you can't continue the democracy after you try to take someone's house. It's not like that. So what that's his main problem. But the question of whether he's doing the right thing or not, I would give you a counter question. What would be more important to you, preserving democracy in Brazil or preserving the Amazon rainforest? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think that, you know, these are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. But if Lula's approach is the modern approach to politics that we take in the United States, which is that I'm doing the right thing and the other person is wrong, right? And what we need to do is get to an approach where I'm fighting for my people's interests and he is too, right? It's the same thing, but it's a different way of looking at it. And what I'm disappointed in is not Lula and it's not Bolsonaro, it's President Biden. Because we brought democracy to the world. And this is the message we're supposed to send. This is our job. And we're failing. Our generation is failing. But the message we should send is, that's your sister, get along with her. That's your brother. You two have to get along. You have to shake hands and make up. And what President Biden is saying is, no, she took your food, smack her in the face. And yeah, maybe that'll keep her. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like we're leading Brazil toward fracture. And that's the problem I got. The Bolsonaro guys got 49% of the vote. The system, the democracy in Brazil will not run without their cooperation. Outreach is the only way. And we should be pressing Lula for outreach. That's what we should be telling them. And instead, we're telling them to smack his little sister in the face. And that's what I think. I think it's horrible.
I was going to say they didn't only attack the Capitol on on January 6th. They attacked three different democratic institutions. This combined with the fact that Brazil's democracy is rather young makes it, you know, seems pretty dangerous. And about the rainforest thing, Tom, preserving democracy is preserving the rainforest in a sense. You know, it will be hard to preserve within an unstable country.
First thing that I would tell you is we had a rainforest and we cut it down, right? And there's a cartoon of a guy and a white guy in a Cadillac. And there's a all this smoke coming out of the back of his car. And he leans out the window. There's a guy with a Mexican hat come down a tree. And he goes, yo, amigo, we need that tree to prevent global warming. And that's what I see, right? That's what I see. We cut down our rainforest. We're not compromising on anything, right? And so, you know.
I would just add that the approach, Tom, that you are asking for is very much the approach that we're not doing here in America, and we're clear on that. No, there is no reach out toward one another, and every party, each party, I don't care which party, not one saying one is better than the other. Where democracies have gone today is how many people can you get to stand with you when you espouse hatred and destruction to the guy across the aisle and his constituents, and you are proclaiming that you have looked the situation over and your way is the right way, everybody else's way, I'm certain, is the wrong way. And that seems to be the call of the world's politics now, not just in down in Brazil and here in America, but we're seeing more and more countries becoming so fractured because people are declaring it's my way and I'm not willing to share this nation or our way to govern. And I'm not sure that is a presidential thing, because each group whoever is elected, you know, their leadership is contingent on, will you say these things the way we say it? And if you are elevated to the top position, we will follow you only if you say down with the other side and up with our side. And I'm believing that has become the trumpet call of politics, of those in democratic countries. It is no longer do we govern together. It is my way or the highway. And right. I think
the rainforest is a perfect example.
Yeah.
The
rainforest is a perfect example where it just, I'm 100% certain that we should not cut down the Amazon rainforest. That's the way people take it. And it's just like, you know, and I think, you know, Americans would rather keep the rainforest than democracy. I really believe that. But the thing is, can you say that my opinion, right?
Sure.
Is that we should preserve the Amazon rainforest. That's my personal opinion. And I think the way we should do it is offer Brazil tons of cash to keep it. You know, that's the way I think we should do it. But here's the thing. I'm willing to accept that I may be wrong, right? I'm willing to accept that maybe the best thing is for them to cut down the rainforest and then make their people rich using the farmland. Maybe that's the right thing to do. I could be wrong. And that's all I'm asking for people in the United States, is to lose the certainty, because that's the only way you can have respect for the other people. And it's the only way that you can ever hope to work with them in between elections. Right. Yeah. If you're certain that you're right, people pick up on that. It's almost like racism. I mean, and you just can't. If I'm certain that you're wrong, that somehow I'm superior. There's a connection there. And yeah, my opinion is we should try to keep the rainforest. And, you know, and there may be have to things that we have to compromise to do that. But I accept that I could be wrong.
Okay.
And then there's other things that you aren't questioning about, right? Like racial justice, right? That's not like the rainforest. That's different. So there are things, murder, right? No, murder can't be okay. So we all accept that. But the rainforest, maybe we should turn that into ag land. Maybe that's what we need to feed our population of people right now.
Right.
Okay, right. So currently, how do you think President Lula is handling the aftermath of the situation?
You know, I'm really disappointed in President Lula myself, but the guy's got a difficult situation. He's a much more difficult situation than I am, and he's got all his supporters that he's responsible to. He's got all the people who gave him money. He's got all the people who worked hard for him. He's not the one that's really responsible to do this, I think. He should know that he has to reach out to the other side if he's going to govern. He needs to know that. That's basic. But I think that we need to be other people in Brazil, the commentators in Brazil, the political commentators, they need to be delivering the message that reconciliation is the only way. Those 49% of the people that voted for Bolsonaro are still there. And we need to find a way to work with them. I don't think that necessarily needs to come from Lula, but it needs to come from President Biden. I mean, he needs to tell them that these people live with you. You have to work, be able to work with them in between elections. Democracy cannot function unless you have a working relationship with the other people during elections. And you guys are heading away from that. And once you get to the point where you're completely away from that, then the democracy must fail because it doesn't work anymore. And so I'm not really disappointed in Lula. I'm disappointed in the United States that we would take sides on something like this, that the Democrats would want to, you know, take sides in somebody else's dispute.
And that's it. I think what we're seeing in Brazil is a page out of the playbook. You know, they are just walking down the same aisle that we are walking, that we have been walking down. We're not espousing work with each other. We're espousing and destroying the other one, and then we will reset this country. And I think when I hear, you know, could we go into their country? I think some people voted for Lula. At least this is what I hear from my Brazilian friends. They said the reason that they voted for Lula, it wasn't because they believe that he had a strategy that would so much better Brazilian people's situation. It was from the leadership of Bolsonaro. They had become so discouraged, just like there were some people who became discouraged from Trump. You know, they had become so disillusioned with Bolsonaro that they were saying anything is better. But they even said, but we already know Lula was a crook before, but he's the better crook versus the crook we got. You know, and so to me, that's a sure sign we don't have a really healthy government. You know, when I have to, you know, when I have to hire, you know, Al Capone, you know, to run the country, you know, just so John Dillinger doesn't get to run the country, I'm not really choosing. I don't really have a hope to go. And I think people, the everyday person in all of these democratic countries is saying, we are up the creek without a paddle. We really don't have men and women who are saying, for the sake of the whole, we've got to do different. We are getting people who are trying to succeed to these high level positions, presidents and Congress and Senate, who are automatically saying, I'm going to do away with the bad guys and I'm going to fix your pot. And you got people saying, I really don't believe in you. It is, I got to cast the vote, but I have no hope in our country ever being right, because they've watched their sons and daughters, their mothers and fathers, you know, bread taken out of their hands, money taken out of their hands, medicals taken out of their hands. And everybody is promising when they're in that position, if you elect me, I'm going to do right by you. But they're going, I already know your track record. And so right now they are caught between a rock and a hard place. And I think even if America were to come in and say, hey, guys, let's all get along, I think they would look at America. They would look at Biden, or they would look at the Congress or our senators and says, how in the world are you guys going to tell us to get along and work together when you guys, you know, cheer when the other one is in default? Right. when the other one is breaking. We don't want to hear from you guys because your even your proposal of what democracy looked like is not what the world even says it looks like. And so, you know, I know we're going to get to this later on, but, you know, both sides have been behind the curtain meeting with people, you know, from these countries and saying, yeah, I'm going to tell you what to do on your side. I'm going to tell you what to do on my side. And that is just, we are just totally out of whack right now. And we're just seeing copycat democracies copycat what we do. Remember, we're the superpower nation. We're the nation who just says we're number one. We're the smartest. We're the brightest. We have more resources. And people, I think, are taking notes. Oh, this is how you do it when you're a superpower and you treat your people like this. And I think they're just repeating. They just got a copy of our handbook and they're doing what we do.
But what Reverend was saying is something that I really believe, that there's a lot of people in the middle that are pretty disgusted by both sides.
Yes.
And they just don't know where to reach. Because what you were saying, they just don't know where to reach. And that's what this podcast is supposed to be. Right. Mm-hmm. Is a place for the moderate people to reach that what we need is faith in each other above anything else. And that's a real simple concept to grasp onto. So, but what we need is for the people in the middle who are disgusted by the crazies on both sides to have something that they can reach across to each other with it.
If they could say, say to our own leaders, to our own leadership, we want better than what we're getting. You know, somehow we've got to be able to tell our leadership, we need better than what you guys are offering us.
We need to break away from Bolsonaro and Lula. There has to be a third group that is like loosely affiliated with both, you know, could switch back and forth and regulate them.
Yeah. Now, so after the dust settles, you know, how does Lula win over the other side? You know, are we trying thousands of people? I mean, we tried hundreds of people here in the United States. How do we hold those accountable for the attack? I mean, there's so many things that Lula has to do. You know, what now? What are your thoughts on to? I mean, Tom, you mentioned outreach. But if we were to outreach, like Pastor Dave said, they're like, I don't want your advice. You know, you guys can't even get along there. So how can it come back? You know, what do they need to do?
Yeah, no, I think that if we delivered that message, it would be the ultimate of hypocrisy, like the Reverend was saying. I mean, I guess we're doing what Trump did. So, because we're leading in the wrong way, right? That's what I think, is that we brought democracy on the world. We understood what it was for a long time, but we've forgotten over time. And so to me, you know, still delivering that message to the world, that outreach is that once it, you got to fight over the election. You're fighting for your people. Once the election's over, then you have to try to work together because it's the only way. And outreach to me, I mean, I don't want to interrupt you, Reverend, but I'll be real quick. Outreach to me is easy. Outreach to me, people love it, right? People always say, if I reach out my hand, it'll be slapped away. And it's like, maybe they will slap it away, but it'll still have an impact on them.
I just would, you know, what seems to keep happening, whether it is, you know, in other democratic countries, and right now we're talking about Brazil and America, you know, as long as we create a diversion, it's almost like we create these diversions so government can't run, so government cannot happen. And it's almost like, again, it's almost like it is a strategy within itself. Let's create a diversion that whoever is in leadership, you will be so busy entrenched in dealing with this first opening part of your administration, you don't get to deal with any of the country's issues and problems and solving the issues that are confronting our nations, and it feels like it's textbook. It just, you know, The moment Trump went into office, it is, let's just get after him. So we spent 4 years of playing tag. Let's go after him. Let's pull up on this. Let's get this and pull this and let's do this. It put the country into stalemate, so nothing could happen. And anytime you tried to legislate or try to be a country that was trying to deal with the issues, it was almost overtaken by, you know, this is our, we're going to have another court appearance and we're going to do all this. And now I think that's what Lula is going to be faced with. Lula is going to say, instead of me trying to come in and begin leading this country through a process, now I got to spend the next 6 months. And how do we try the people of this type of insurrection? That's six more months, almost probably a year. There will be no administration. There will be.
Then you get to the next election and then you're doing that. And nobody ever runs the government.
Nobody. The government is never ran. And I'm going again. This is becoming textbook and we're almost selling it to each other. You know, if you're not happy with the government, blow up the office. If you're not happy with the, you know, with the party that's in power, you know, shoot somebody. I don't know, but it's becoming that we're not even trying to become countries of and for the people. It's almost like our governments have defaulted to the point of we are, it's no longer about the union and the benefit of building a nation. It's almost like it's building a party or building individuals. And that to me in the long run is going to be the downfall of democracy, because democracy was supposed to be about providing that two people with opposite opinions could come together and talk about what was good or bad or best for a country and come to some type of civil agreement. But today you win, tomorrow I'll win, and we'll go home and have chicken together. But that's no longer the issue. It is, you don't agree with me, I don't agree with you. All of my constituents say, I don't like you, you are the devil, you are a pansy, you are any and everything that is opposite to the holiness of our nation. So then you don't really matter. And I think that hamstrings the government. And instead of our politicians owning and seeing that, it's like they're coming more and more entrenched and doing that kind of battle. And I think Lula can't, whether it's Lula, whether it's Biden, whether it is Trump, I don't think nobody can govern, even if we don't even give people time enough to govern. You know, we're already saying, nope, you're not one of us. So no matter what you say, we have groups of people who are ready to denounce any and everything that you are trying to espouse. We don't want it. And so then I think Lula is going to be handicapped. Lula is going to try to say, I'm going to prosecute the people by the law. And see, again, all of our countries have laws. You break the law, you break a law. We have answers to those laws. But now we got to debate, well, how much do we answer the law? How much do we follow the law so we can get along? Mm-hmm. No, if I get along with you, then my people are going to say you didn't carry it far enough. And it's just, we are becoming more and more and more less of a country of the people. And one of the things, Tom, we've talked about over and over on this podcast is this to me feels like we are headed for some type of single authority that's going to come in and you're going to see a dictator of a sort says, mm-hmm. I will make all the answers. I will take all of the blame or all of the success. You will have to listen to me. And I think we are definitely seem to be headed toward that process because we can't do anything right now for and with each other.
Right. And scary thought, definitely. Now let's talk about some key key players in this whole situation. Late Sunday, Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes ordered the immediate suspension of the governor of Brasilia for 90 days, accusing him and the district's head of public security of abetting the unprecedented attack on the country's capital. What are your thoughts on this situation? Is it going to yield any positive outcomes? I'll start with you, Pastor Dave.
I just don't. I think what happened, it is we always need a fall guy. We need somebody to take the rap. And instead of trying to get to the core of the problem, you know, somebody just got to be sacrificed. And I would assume this guy is, you know, been listening. He may have been in connection with Bolsonaro and his party and others who would lead this to this type of demonstration. But I just don't think this is the answer. This is not the answer that's needed. I think it's another deflection. The country has more issues than, you know, did this guy do it and did he do it alone? I think this is just one of those political moves to get brownie points with his own party or with his own group. But I don't see this doing anything to help what's nationally going on at all. No.
Okay. Tom, what are your thoughts on that situation?
Well, just to me that once you take the oath of office, then you have a much higher standard than you do if you're just out there running for office or voting for somebody or protesting or whatever. Yeah. So to me, if you're not performing the oath that you took to the Constitution, then that's a different standard than just protesting. But the sad fact is that the Bolsonaro people do have the right to protest. This is actually guaranteed in our Constitution. And I think, Reverend, you have some historical references in our own country where protests, you know, resulted in tremendous change. So, you know, and a lot of people called on Dr. King to stop because, you know, his protests generated violence and armed economic activity. But, you know, protest is the last voice of the people who don't have a voice or whatever he said. So the Bolsonaro people really do have the right to protest.
You know, I think you can protest. And I think protest is a part of constitutional rights for people. But when it teeters on treason or when it teeters on I'm going to destroy the country to get my way, it's no longer protest. And I think that's what we got to make sure we can cut between. It is are people protesting or are people saying I'm going to take down the government to reposition a new government? That's a whole different thing. And I think that was the question.
But they did accuse Dr. King of that, though.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Very much.
That exact accusation was.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just been it. I think in history, you know, when people have protests, remember, you're easily to be labeled. You can be labeled real quick. The protesters can be labeled real quick. You're communist. You are socialist. You are all these things because people don't want to acknowledge that the everyday person has rights. And so to get groups against one another, you just start painting labels on them. You know, those are not really national people. Those are not one of us. They're trying to take our country. And I think those are the dangers that we can create a fear from people's rights to say, hey, something is wrong. We just got to be extremely careful. Protest that just says I want to overthrow the government. Now that's not protest, you know, that's treason. And we want
to. Yeah, where that is hazy.
Yes, right, exactly. It gets real hazy. That's exactly right. It gets real hazy. Yeah.
But to me, what's happening is I'm saving the rainforest. That makes me good and you bad.
Yes.
And then the protest said, "Well, we're still not going away, but we're still here." You want to ignore us because you're certain that you're right. But the protest says, no, I'm still here and I still have to be heard.
Even right. If I'm still 40%
here. Of the population or 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lula administration actually launched immediate and coordinated response to the invasion. Hundreds of arrests were made on that day, a stark difference to what happened here on January 6th. Now let's talk about a couple other connections that we have, like revisiting Brazil's connection with MAGA, right-wing politicians, and even the CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Conference, which was dubbed in Portuguese out there. And another person I would like to actually bring front, one of the main people we'd like to speak about, Bolsonaro, while he was in power, he weakened protection for the indigenous, the LGBTQ community. He attacked the courts, threatened elections. He was dubbed the Trump of the tropics, right? And so with that being said, how much involved is Trump with the Bolsonaros, I guess, his father and son, Bolsonaros, Jair and then Eduardo? So what do you think on that?
I think in Trump's heyday of his presidency, Trump set a standard for a lot of other fighting parties in their countries to kind of get some traction. You know, they watched Trump and see how much leverage could he wield, and some took. Position from that. You know, they were going, you know, this guy is an outsider and he is, you know, rearranging the government. He is getting things done for people. And I think his persona was gravitated to by a lot of people around the country. Europe, we saw it. We saw it in Europe where parties, you know, were just saying, "Hey, we don't want certain people. We don't want this, and we're not going to take any more immigrants into our country. We are going to fight for our country. We don't want gays and lesbians." And it was, I think, they were taking notes from Trump's high moments of his presidency. And if it wasn't, and I think they were just watching to see how far will he get in reorchestrating a new type of America per se. And so I think his style was mimicked by many. And so many wanted to have audience with him. And I can't remember if it's the woman prime minister for Spain or
Italy. Oh God.
Where was that at, Tom?
Italy.
That's the one. Italy. You know, same thing. I mean, I think she took a playbook from Trump. You know, We're just gonna go hard line. We're gonna shape Italy into position, and we're not gonna play ball with a status quo. And I think these were countries who were saying, we're ready for change. And they didn't know how to produce the change. So you gotta find somebody who is mimicking what you think you want. And I think Trump was he was a rock star in his high moments. And so others wanted to produce the same type of fervor. And I think that many began to partner with him. I think his son, whatever his son's name is, often would go to countries, to people, and speak at rallies and groups of people in other countries that he would promote the new Trumpism, you know, the new Trump style of government. And people gravitated to that, you know, because they're saying what we've been doing hasn't been working. And so now in Brazil, you know, Trump and his group of people, his people, often invited people from the Bolsonaro family and representatives to come to his rallies and come to their group, come to Mar-a-Lago. I think because he was trying to create this new wave of government, and Trump saw it not just in America. I think he wanted to see a new change in world governments and countries around the world. I hear Trump for this. I've always heard him say, kind of believe in this, that I think Trump was saying, I think your countries are going to have to step up and make the changes that you want without you saying America come and make our changes for us. And so I think there were governments or people in government who were saying, you know, this guy might have something. And if we can rise up from, you know, from the outskirts and come in a different way that they expect, we might be able to create change. And so I think Trump created a strong fervor in his philosophy of rearranging the government. And we're now seeing, I think, part of the results of his leadership. Yeah.
Okay. Tom, did you have what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think Trump was heavily involved with the Bolsonaro guys. And, you know, and I think those connections are questionable and stuff. But I think the message that I would have for the American people is, number one, is the rest of the world looks up to us. They don't admit it, but they do.
Yes.
And the whole world wants to emulate us. They don't admit it, but they do. And if we could have treated the January 6th insurrectionists with a different approach than the one we took, which is just prosecution, I think that would have been an example to Brazil that they could have used now. But what they see is, you know, smack them in the face. But yeah, no, we're an example for everyone else. And when we elect someone like President Trump, who's basically anti-democratic in his outlook and his personality, then that sends a big message to the rest of the world. It's okay for you to do it too. And that's the thing. I guess that would be the big message that I would have about this whole thing is I wish when we were doing the January 6th thing, we could think about it being an example for Brazil, who's in a much more serious situation. But when you have an election like that, outreach is the only way. It's the only way. And when we reacted to January 6th, we sent the whole world, in my opinion, the worst example possible for how to handle it.
Absolutely. With the recent incident in Brazil shows the extremism threatens not only our democracy in the United States, but democracy on a global scale. Extremism on both sides of the political spectrum acts as a wedge that intends to divide. The moderates are going to have to step up and foster faith in each other in order to rise above the current state of affairs and protect democracy across all borders. We have to be able to have faith in each other and each other's side so that we can work together. Let's look for what unites us and work to restore faith in each other. Let's all do outreach in our own lives this week and gain some faith in each other. United we stand, or divided we fall. I want to thank you guys once again for joining me on today's show. I want to thank all our viewers and supporters out there. Thanks, Tom, and thank you, Pastor Dave, and we'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much for listening to Faith in Each Other. I hope today's conversation encourages you in your journey to have hard conversations and, most importantly, to listen to others around you. If we're going to have faith in each other, I believe we need to be willing to have hard conversations, and that is what we aim to do on this show. We will see you next time on Faith in Each Other. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with someone you know. See you next time.